Well, good morning again. In 1990, Don Moen wrote the song, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And it can be easy to proclaim and to shout our praises of God when everything's going really well, when everything's going great. But we can struggle to see the goodness of God when our circumstances are not so good. When a friend turns their back on us and we discover that they weren't really a friend at all. When a teenager is killed in a car accident. When you're feeling hungry, cold and tired. When you're told that a loved one has cancer. When you lose your job. When drought hits hard. We can struggle to see the goodness of God. But God in his word tells us that he is good. The psalmist wrote, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And again the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. And then, of course, Jesus says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He is good and he gives good gifts. And so we come to our reading today when James says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wonderful words, but these words don't come in isolation. These words follow what James has already been talking about, and that is about trials and temptations. In fact, right from the beginning of the chapter, from verse 2, he's talking about trials and temptations and about circumstances that cause us to question the goodness of God. So let's go back to verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And here, as James speaks about the goodness of God, from verse 16 through to 18, he begins, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be led astray by the trials and the temptations that you face that lead you to think that God is not good, that somehow God is not being good to you. We all know that there are times when we experience trials and temptations, and these may cause us to question the goodness of God. Maybe there's an area of temptation that comes up for you that continues to come up. And it's an area of temptation that you struggle with every time. Maybe you've been through some really tough trials in recent days that have left you somewhat disillusioned, maybe left you heartbroken, fearful or angry, and you question God's presence and his care. Just don't sense that you are here, Lord, and you are really caring for me, that you are good. James says, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. Don't be led astray. Do not let the circumstances that you're in cause you to question the goodness of God. He is good and his gifts are good. And then James gives us some reasons to look beyond the circumstances that we face and to consider the goodness of God. And the first reason that you know or you can know that God is good is because God's gifts are good. In these verses, in verse 17 particularly, James says, God's gifts are good. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But the moment that I read those words to you, do you think, well, does that mean that some gifts are good and some are perfect? And what's the difference? Well, surely all God's gifts are good and all God's gifts are perfect. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It doesn't mean that some are good whilst others are perfect. Because the word gift that is used in this verse in English, same word, but in the Greek there are two different words and have obviously convey two differing meanings. And the first word for gift stresses the action of giving. It reflects the intention or the motivation of the giver. So God's actions in giving to us are always good, always from a position of goodness, and they are good for us. Perhaps it would read better, every gift comes with and from, every gift comes with and from the giver's goodness. God's heart in giving is always from a position of his goodness. Now that can't always be said of us, of you and I. You and I, we can give someone a gift. It's not always from a position of goodness. It's not from a good motivation. We can give from the hope of receiving something back. We can give grudgingly. We can give out of obligation or to be seen to be doing the right thing. We can give because we think we ought to or that we should. And we can also give gifts that are not necessarily good. But that's not the way it is with God. That's not the way it is with God. God's motivation for giving is always flows out of his love for us. God's heart in giving to us is always from a position of goodness. Every gift given is from the goodness of the Father's heart and is given for our good. Every good gift. And the second word for gift is, well, it means the same as our English word. It's a gift. A gift is a gift. But the emphasis here is on the word before that, and that is perfect. And the word perfect refers to this gift being brought to completion or fully accomplished. So every gift from the Lord that is fully accomplished will always be for good. Every gift that is fully accomplished is always good. But sometimes we don't see the goodness of God in our lives because we don't see the accomplished, the fulfillment of the gift. We're seeing just a part of it. And we're focused on the present difficulties that we face. And we struggle to see the goodness of God because it hasn't been accomplished in its fulfillment yet. And so this refers back to the beginning of the chapter, or verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, fully accomplished. So every gift given from the goodness of the Father's heart is given for our good, and every gift from the Lord is fully accomplished will always be for our eternal good. Fully accomplished. And so maybe this illustration will help. Imagine two kids come inside and they ask their mum for a snack. And she says, "How about 2 cups of flour?" Or she says, "What about 2 teaspoons of baking powder, baking soda?" Or, "Here's 2 eggs. Eat these." Or, "Here's 125 grams of butter. Share that amongst yourselves." They're likely to respond, how would you respond as a kid? They're likely to respond with, "Yuck, Mum. That's gross. That's, ugh, don't want that, Mum." But what if Mum were to say, "Sit down, kids. Here's a piece of chocolate cake. Same ingredients." Different format. Now, sometimes God gives you the cake. At other times, He gives you one ingredient at a time. And you're standing there with a mouthful of stuff and you're thinking to yourself, "God, if you're really good, then why do I have this stuff in my mouth?" And after He gives you one ingredient, He then gives you another. And then after some time, He begins to mix you all up a little bit in the mixing bowl, and you say, "God, if you're really good, then why am I getting so stirred up with what I'm facing?" And then after He's mixed you up for a little bit, He turns the heat on the oven to about 180 degrees, and then He slides you into the oven. And you shout this time, "God, if you're really good, then why is the heat turned up in my life so much?" That's when, by faith, we look not at our circumstances or our feelings, but we look at God's word, into God's word. And we look and we ponder and we consider His Son. And we think about God's intentions and His character. And by faith, we say, "God, I know that You are good, and ultimately, Your gifts are good. Gifts of grace and mercy and hope and peace and forgiveness and redemption and salvation." And as Max Lucado wrote, "God's desire is not just to get you into heaven, but to get heaven into you." His ongoing gift is to change our character to reflect His. And sometimes He gives us the cake, and at other times He gives us one ingredient at a time. And if ultimately we say, "Yes, Lord, You are good and Your gifts are good," we can agree with Paul when he said in Romans 8:28, "We know that in all things God works together for good for those who love Him." And he also wrote in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work within you will bring it to completion unto the day of Jesus Christ." So God's gifts are good. But the second reason we can depend upon the goodness of God is because His character is changeless. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so James describes God in these words as the Father of lights. I think this is the only time God is described this way in Scripture. The Father of lights, the Creator, the one who has always been. even before the beginning of the worlds. He is the one who gave birth to every sparkling star in the entire universe. He grouped those stars into their constellations. He assigned them their individual brightness. He framed the physical laws of the universe to keep these stars in their courses. He sustains them day by day. He orders the motion of all of the planets and all of the moons and of the solar systems in the galaxies. He is the Father of lights, and he knows you personally. He knows all about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows what you're thinking. He knows you that well. And although the stars change, they change in their brightness. Some die. Some fizzle out. God never changes. God never varies. There is no shadow or turning with God. As bright as the moon is, there are times when it appears to turn its dark side to us. As brilliant as the sun shines, there are times when it is eclipsed by the moon and it appears to us that it is in the shadows. But there is no shadow of turning with our Father. He does not change. We, however, are in constant flux of change. Our bodies change, our thoughts change, our decisions, our behaviour, our character, our lives change. All around us, our environment is constantly changing. But God is immutable. That is, he cannot be altered or changed. He is permanent. He is absolute. He never takes notes on my sermons. He doesn't need to, because he knows everything and he knows everything perfectly. And he describes himself in Malachi 3:6 with these words, "I, the Lord, do not change." I, the Lord, do not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the writer of Hebrews declares. And so when we are led to question the goodness of God, remember, he cannot change. If God has been good once, then he is good always. He is good, and he is love. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And so the goodness of God is extended over into the most precious gift that he could give us, verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the perfect gift, the eternal gift, declaring the goodness of God for you and I. And notice that this salvation is of his own will. Of his own will he brought us forth. Nothing forced God to give us salvation through his Son. Nobody forced God to bring us salvation through Jesus Christ. He wasn't lonely, he wasn't deficient, he wasn't lacking in anything, but simply out of his own good pleasure, out of his own good will, out of his own desire to be good and his desire to be gracious, out of his own love for us, he chose to save dirty, rotten sinners like you and I. It's so easy for us to take the gifts that God has given us, the gifts that God has given us, and forget the God who has given them. We focus in on the gifts. It's so easy for us to stop looking to him and start looking at the situations or our circumstances or our experiences and looking inside of ourselves and we forget how good God is. It's so easy to look at the baking soda and focus on that because it tastes so bitter. But when we look at his word, when we look at his character, when we contemplate the gift of his son and what Jesus has done for us on the cross, what Jesus has done as he gave himself, we know that God is good. I trust that you know the goodness of God. And so we can say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. May you rest in his peace. Amen.